Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You know what? This guy's been around the NBA for a while. We could ask him. He's a little more diplomatic than us, but so maybe he won't answer. But welcome in Eric Hasseltine. He is the radio play-by-play voice of the Memphis Grizzlies, Warriors and Grizzlies in a monster game on Sunday to determine who is the eighth seed. And we called Eric to give us some info on the Grizzlies because they've been an under-the-radar team. But first, hey, Eric, welcome. But we're talking about what NBA player would you like to hard foul the most if you could?
Oh, Patrick Beverley's a good one.
Yeah.
He's a good one. I respect him a ton because of how hard he worked to get into the league. But then the antics sometimes to me, we had a game with the Clippers last year and Patrick wasn't playing. Kyle Anderson, after a whistle, took a shot, and Beverly came from behind off the bench in street clothes and took a swipe at the shot. And I thought to myself, you know, if he had missed and hit Anderson's thumb or done something that could have hurt him, that's just really stupid. You know, that's not even, you know, that whole Kevin Garnett blocked a shot after the whistle thing, that's taking it too far. But he's a heck of a player. So hard foul, yeah, wow. No, I'm not diplomatic. I would tell you if I had thought of somebody.
It used to I be love it.
Nurkic, but he's actually toned it down since his rookie year. There was a game in Denver where, and I blame Darrell Arthur, the former Grizzly who was then with the Nuggets, for gassing up Nurkic to tell him that, hey, Marc Gasol can't stay with you. Marc Gasol can't stay with you. You're the real all-star. And Nurkic was running his mouth from the opening tip to the end of the ball game. Which ended up being a really bad idea because Mark pretty much kicked his butt the next three times we played him. So that's kind of how those things tend to work. I would say, oof, man, you guys are putting me on the spot here. Give me a second to think about
it. Yeah, yeah, let's get to the Grizzlies,
yeah, there's,
Dibs.
Yeah, there's not a ton of bad guys out there, but there's a few, and I think Beverly's right at the top of that list, so it may end up staying there.
I like it, though, and we'll put that in the cap early, and you have the right to switch it up a little bit later. Before we go 4-1-1 on the Grizz, where would Draymond Green fall among Memphis fans on that list? What's the perception of Draymond outside of our precious little bubble here in the Bay?
They respect him. I think there's a lot of Grizzlies fans that are disappointed they didn't draft him. A lot of people were pushing for him. I think that year the Grizzlies had the 22nd pick and elected to go with a 6'6", one-and-done point guard out of Washington named Tony Roten. And, right. You know, Zach Randolph was pushing for Draymond to come to Memphis because of the Michigan State ties. And he seemed to fit everything we did at that time. I don't know that he would have become the Draymond Green he is now here because I think that style that Steve Kerr played really opened up his game and allowed him to play free, to be aggressive on the defensive end, to rebound, to bring the ball up, and the unselfish nature of it. You know, we were a grind it out, give it to Zach, give it the high pick and roll with Mark offense that didn't maximize possessions the way Golden State did. So, there's the perception that a lot of people felt like the year Mike Conley had the broken face that Draymond gave him a cheap shot, and people still haven't forgotten that. I didn't necessarily see it that way, to be honest with you. I think Draymond just plays hard, and it was an unfortunate situation. But I've never known, in my opinion, Draymond to be a guy that would intentionally take a cheap shot at someone to hurt him. So I think people respect him because that's the way this city is. They're a lot like the way he plays, tough, gritty, maximize everything you have to become really successful. And so I think he has a Memphis attitude to him, or at least the people here perceive that. So I think there's a lot of respect. They won't admit that because he's an opponent, but when it's all said and done, I think if you talk about cities that probably have the most respect for Draymond Green overall, I think Memphis would fall right up there.
Eric, a big topic of discussion around here is what the Warriors are going to do tonight in the meaningless game now against the Pelicans. Steph, Draymond, Wiggins, all questionable. I think there's a thought that they're not going to play tonight, obviously, with everything on Sunday when the Grizzlies are in San Francisco. What's the Grizzlies' plan for tonight, in your estimation, as far as how they will play it, having to come across country and play an afternoon game to boot?
Well, if by questionable you mean that Steve Kerr has taken Steph Curry's golf clubs and said, go get them at Harding Park and stay there as long as you want, I think that's probably what's more likely to happen than Steph to set foot on the court. And I think it's the same thing with us in Memphis. And I texted one of our assistant coaches last night and said, hey, I'm ready. If I can get some minutes tonight, I'm in. If I can just get one shot attempt, I'll be on Basketball Reference forever. So I figure if I can play 15 seconds, just touch it, jack it up, sub out, I'm in, and I'll take the one day out of the 10-day contract pay for that. I'd be happy to eat up some of those available minutes for our guys. My suggestion was, how about we just charter a plane, send our key contributors out to San Francisco tonight, and let them head down to North Beach for a delicious meal and watch the game like everybody else. But they'll be here, and I just don't see anybody playing. There's no benefit to it. You're competitors, but you played a hard game last night. You had to dig in to beat an undermanned Kings team who just quite honestly played really well. Justin James played terrific, and the Grizzlies, they weren't bad. They just made some mistakes, maybe a little too lackadaisical with their focus at times, and then allowed Sacramento to stick around. But, they locked in late and came back. So I think both teams are going to go through the same thing. It's an early start Sunday. You want your best players to be ready, because having the eighth seed matters. Yeah, you have to go on the road for that first game, but you have to be beaten twice. And even if you're the 9 and hosting, you now have to win 2 games, and you're playing high-level teams. San Antonio's playing great basketball. Memphis has been playing great basketball. Golden State's obviously playing great basketball with the wins they've had. And, the wild card becomes, what are the Lakers, if they're the 7, look like? If Portland falls to the 7, they're playing really well. So it's going to be fun. There's no doubt about it. So I think Steve Kerr and Taylor Jenkins, who know each other very well, the San Antonio connection is still there. Kerr having played there, but very close with Greg Popovich, and Taylor Jenkins cutting his teeth as a young coach in that organization. I'm sure they've probably thought about it in similar terms of what would Greg Popovich do? And the answer would be DNP nowhere near the building.
Yeah,
that would be the way to do it.
No doubt. Eric Hasseltine joining us. He's the radio voice of the Memphis Grizzlies. Eric, we all know about Ja Morant on the Grizzlies. Who would you say is their second most important player?
Jonas Valanciunas. I mean, it's as good as Kyle Anderson has been this year for them, and it's a career year for Kyle, and he's finally healthy, and he's gotten rid of the hitch in his shot, and now he's actually making threes where you can't just leave him alone. And he's been terrific, and it's a weird dynamic when you guys will watch Kyle Anderson. You're like, his nickname is Slow-Mo, and there's never been a more apropos nickname for a player than Kyle Anderson, because it literally looks like he's going in slow motion. He takes these long strides, and his defense is sensational with his wingspan. Dylan Brooks, his defense is terrific, and he can score when he gets in the rhythm of the offense. He had 30 last night, but Jonas Valanciunas in the middle has been massive for the Grizzlies all season long. He's pushing 50 double doubles. He was averaging close to 14 rebounds a game for most of the second half of the season. Then he had a couple of he had a concussion, so he missed a couple of games and didn't play as many minutes. But when he gets going on the interior, for example, last night, the Kings just didn't have anybody to match up with him. Grizzlies needed a bucket. Jonas went right to the rim, got a dunk. Lynn went to the rim, got an and one, and all of a sudden you're going, how do we stop this guy? He's 7 feet tall. He's 265 pounds. And he moves a lot better than people realize. I've watched him in practice, and I go, my gosh, this guy can actually really get around the court like a 6'8" guy at times. He's kind of the throwback guy on this roster that's playing more like the Warriors kind of in the style I give credit to the Warriors for inventing, to spread it out, move the ball around, make the extra pass, have guys that can knock down threes that everybody's playing. The Grizzlies have adopted that, and they've gotten in the top 10 in the league in pace, and they're making more threes this year than I've ever seen them make. And they still have that ability, though, if they need to just go get a bucket at down low and there's not and a team wants to go small, you're going to have a problem matching up with Jonas. And the danger becomes trading threes for two, but when you can get a two pretty much any time, if someone doesn't put a big out there, then you'll take your chances sometimes. So I'd say it's Jonas, and the other guys are certainly as important as anybody, but Jonas is a big, big part of what the Grizzlies do.
What makes the Grizzlies vulnerable defensively? Because you look at the game log, and there's some games where it seems like the D just didn't show up that night.
Well, it's the same answer. It's Jonas's inability in the pick and roll to really extend, because he's not super athletic that way. I mean, off the dribble, he's quick, but like he will give space in the high ball screen, and they figured out a way to kind of help that out. If that's getting utilized, they'll go to Xavier Tillman. But with that said, it's also inexperience. I mean, it's youth, and Dylan and Kyle Anderson, Dylan Brooks, that is, are really good defenders. But you get a Grayson Allen in there, and you get some of the other young guys in there that are trying to come together. And they haven't really had their full complement of players, because Jaren Jackson Jr. had been out. Justice Winslow had been out. It's starting to get better. They went through a stretch where their defense was locked in. And it was because the same guys were taking the court every night. You knew who was in, who was out. D'Anthony Melton's a good defender, and it really kind of manifested itself into a nice run defensively, where the Grizzlies went from, I think, 15th in defensive efficiency to third in a matter of 10 games. They were just locking people up. But then guys came back, you mix rotations, and all of a sudden you drop back into the 10s. So they're not bad defensively. They're actually very aggressive. They're one of the better teams, if not the best team in the league, at creating steals. They were number one for most of the year, and that's because they play aggressively. Getting Jaren Jackson Jr. back helps them play a little more aggressively, because you have another rim protector. But the thing that has hurt the Grizzlies this season has been high ball screens, and then rotations on the perimeter at times, leaving the wrong guys open to shoot. You know, obviously, no one in their right mind would ever leave Steph Curry open. But if you go back to that first game against the Warriors, you know, Jordan Poole had it rolling, and the Grizzlies continued to help off of him. And it's like, hey, at some point, you got to realize that guy's got the hot hand, and you can't leave him. And that's where the inexperience comes in. And, you know, I work on the broadcast with Elliot Perry, who played with the Suns and a whole herd of other teams, and he would just shake his head. He's like, man, if that was us, Chuck Barkley would just go out and hip check that guy and not let him get another shot up. And if anybody didn't defend him, he'd hip check his own player. And I was like, yeah, I believe Charles would do that. So they're just learning that. They're actually a pretty resilient group. But I think sometimes they get caught roster watching. Thinking like last night, okay, Sacramento doesn't have their main guys.
Right.
We'll be fine. And Justin James hangs a career high 31 and looks very efficient in doing it. And going to Detroit when they were really undermanned and not really locking in and kind of playing lackluster, having a 20-point lead against Orlando and kind of letting their foot off the gas and saying, these guys don't have the horses to run that race. And then Cole Anthony hits a game winner. It's happened multiple times. I think it happened a little bit in the first game with the Warriors, where they didn't give the Warriors reserves the proper respect because Steph was out of that ball game, and Jordan Poole lit him up. Wiggins hit him for a career high. Kevon Looney in that game was massive. Then the second game, when Kevon Looney went out and the Grizzlies had locked in a little bit, it was a different story. So I think you guys understand this, and that was one of the great things about the, you know, the Warrior teams that were, you know, from a couple of years ago, and they certainly, once they get healthy, could potentially get back towards that. But they never took a night off. Like, you'd see them, and if you were down 12 to them, they wanted you down 24. They were acting right, like they were down 12. I distinctly remember a game where they were beating the Grizzlies by, like, 25, and Draymond's diving on the floor. Steph is making extra passes. Nobody's hot-dogging it. They're pressing up, and I'm like, dude, these guys are acting like they're down 24, and I think they beat the Grizzlies that night by 40. And I was like, that's what a championship team does. They have, you know, the smell of you're on your last legs, and they're looking for that knockout punch, and they're not going to wait for you to kind of wave the white flag. They're going to make you wave it. And that's where this team will take, in Memphis, will take their next steps as they mature and learn how to finish out games, because to be quite honest with you guys, and I don't mean it disrespectfully to Golden State, the Grizzlies shouldn't have to worry, are in a position where they shouldn't have had to worry about Sunday. They've given away, we counted last night, 6 or 7 games where they've kind of just eased off the gas and let go of the throttle or gone in with the wrong mindset. And you can accept that, 1 or 2 or 3 games in a season. 6 or 7, you go, hey, you should have had at least 3 of those, and then Sunday wouldn't have been a big deal. But that's the situation you're in, and that's what happens. You know, look, go back to those years with the Denver Nuggets before they finally broke through. They missed the playoffs by 1 game, I think 2 or 3 years in a row. How many games did they look back on and go, hey, we had a double-digit lead in the fourth quarter, and because we thought we had it wrapped up and this other team ramped it up, we lost that game, and now we're sitting home watching while everybody else is playing, and that's part of this league. And I it's one of the great things about it, because if you don't respect your opponent, you're going to be in real trouble. And the way the skills are of these young players that are coming in, you may not know their name, but the general manager of their franchise didn't give him a jersey because he thought he was a nice guy. It's because he can play basketball at a very high level.
Yeah, we're looking forward to Sunday's game. Thanks for your time, Eric. Really appreciate it, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Guys, I appreciate it, and I miss being able to travel back home to the Bay Area, but it should be a lot of fun Sunday, so hopefully we'll see a great game.